Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 23rd of January in the year 2018. And alhamdulillah, we're beginning the 7th week, the 43rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu. And I'm steadily going through the campaigns in Persia, and we've reached the fourth Ai encounter entitled The River of Blood. So just to mention it very briefly, the previous encounter at Walaja under Zaghar was literally, and his force was annihilated, and their intention was for Bahman to come with his 100,000 men and only then to attack Sayyidina Khalid's force. But Khalid annihilated them before this. So the next section is entitled The River of Blood. So I think I mentioned yesterday that the Bahman, he left the command to another person called Jaban, and he himself went back to the capital Ctesiphon to look after the ailing emperor Ardashir. And he told Jaban to avoid battle unless it is forced upon him. This is in Tabri in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 560. Meanwhile, the new commander Jaban moved with his army to Oles and found a vast gathering of Christian Arabs. He promptly assumed command. So like I mentioned, the Arabs were also helping the Persians. The Christian Arab contingent was headed by a chieftain called Abdul Aswad, who had lost two sons in the previous battle at Walaja and was thus burning for revenge. So simply put, there's two. The commander is Jaban of the entire force, and the Christian Arabs, their commander is Abdul Aswad. He lost two sons in the previous battle, so he's obviously thirsty for revenge. Before the arrival of Jaban and the Persians, Muthanna, i.e. the chieftain of Banu Bakr rahmatullah alayh, and his light cavalry had already appeared at Oles, and they had made contact with the Christian Arabs and realized that they were awaiting Bahman's army to arrive and reinforce them. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was informed. Thus he increased his pace, hoping to get there before the reinforcements. But Jaban beat him to Oles, perhaps by a few short hours. So simply put, Muthanna, i.e. the one, the commander, basically like second in command to Khalid radiyallahu anhu, he was the first to detect that this Christian Arab contingent led by Abdul Aswad were waiting for Jaban. So he got the message back to Khalid. He goes, they're waiting for the main army. Basically, come quickly. If you can engage with them, they will lose their reinforcements. So Khalid tried to get there as quick as possible, but Jaban had already arrived, maybe by a few hours before. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu was thus again faced with an enormous army for the fourth time. Upon assessment, he thereupon decided to engage with the enemy the very same day, so that the Persians would not have time to organize and coordinate their plans. So this is his genius. He gets there and he realizes these are reinforcements. So for reinforcements to merge with the main army, you need time. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu says, I'm not going to give them time. I'm going to attack now. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu once again split his army into a center and two wings, with the same two wing commanders, Sayyidina Adi ibn Hatim and Sayyidina Asim ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu. So note, they were always there, the two wing commanders. It started from the apostasy wars, and now it's moved on into the wars against the Persians. Due to the enemy forces having the river behind them, this time no outflanking movements were possible, just like in the second main encounter against Qarin during the Battle of the River. Victory would thus be relied upon by the speed and violence of the attack, rather than on maneuver, which was so successfully executed in the previous third encounter at Walaja against Andarzagh. So simply put, it was kind of the same format as the Battle of the River. Meaning, Jabir knew his stuff. He wasn't going to allow outflanking movements. Meanwhile, in the Persian camp, the cooks had prepared the soldiers' food. They were brave men, but they were also hungry men, and thus said to their commander Jabir, "Let us eat now, we will fight thereafter." Jabir replied, "I fear that the enemy will not let you eat in peace." This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 561. So obviously they were confident of victory. They thought, look, we've got reinforcements. Let us have our good lunch or meal, whatever it is. Then we'll fight. But Jabir says this is a mistake. Meanwhile, the Christian Arab auxiliaries, less sophisticated in their eating habits, had formed up for action. It was only the Persians who wanted some tukar. The Persians had eaten but one or two mouthfuls when it became apparent that the Muslims were about to assault. If they thus delayed any longer, then a full belly would be no use to them whatsoever. Quickly they left their dishes and deployed for battle, and not a moment too soon. Jabir used the Christian Arabs to form the wings of the army under their chiefs Abdul Aswad and another man called Abjar, and he amassed his Persian troops in the center. So Khalid's got center and two wings. The Persians have done the same. But his wings are the Arabs, Christian auxiliaries. Abdul Aswad, the chief of one, and Abjar another, and he had his main force, the Persians, in the middle. The inevitable battle thus broke out in full swing. From historical accounts, we know that Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu had killed the Arab wing commander Abdul Aswad, who had lost two of his sons earlier at Walaja in personal combat. So it was interesting. You would have expected Jabir to come out, commander-in-chief. But it was the Christian chief who came out. Why? Because he lost his two sons, but he must have lost plot. Right? Khalid bin Walid came out, he goes, "All right, join your sons." We also know that the imperial army, though losing heavily in men, would not yield before the assault of the Muslims. Thus, if any an army meant to fight it out to the last, it was the imperial army of Ulis. So they were standing like a rock in the center, and they weren't going to budge. So they back to the rivers. How are you going to break them? The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon seeing the deadlock, he raised his blessed hands and he made the following dua. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 561, he goes, "Oh my loving Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you give us victory, I shall see that no enemy warrior is left alive until their river itself runs with their blood." So Khalid radiallahu anhu, he said, to show my gratitude, if you give us victory, he goes, "I will make the river behind them run with their blood." Subhanallah, the Almighty and Glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the supplication of his noble servant, and the battle suddenly turned in favor of the believers. Then, by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, early in the afternoon, after a few hours of combat, the imperial army was finally broken. It lost cohesion, and the soldiers fell into disarray, and they eventually fled. As the 4th Imperial Persian army had now fled from battle, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu launched his cavalry after it with a special command. He goes, "Do not kill them. Bring them back alive." This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 561. So, how did he break? And the answer is, he's the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he can't find a way to break them, he's making dua. Meaning it was obviously divine help. As always, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he broke them. They fled. But this time he goes, "Bring them back alive." Large parties were thus captured and brought back. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to keep his promise. The river had to be running with the blood of the unbelievers. Hence, as each group was brought back, it was herded to the river. And every man was swiftly beheaded in the riverbed, where his blood ran into the river. It is related, In Tabari, in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 561, the executions went on for the rest of the day, the whole of the night, and the whole of the next day, and also part of the next. SubhanAllah, how many Persians were there? The executions went on for the rest of the day, the whole of the night, the whole of the next day, and part of the next. Simply put, this gruesome process took almost 2 days. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was determined to keep his pledge. So now somebody could look at this thing, isn't that a bit inhumane and this, that, the other? And the answer is, prisoners of war, the commander has options. One is to execute, one is to ransom, one is to free. He can choose whichever one he wishes, whichever one he thinks is more suitable. So obviously Khalid ibn Walid realized that this was the option here, which was more suitable. So we shouldn't find it strange. Then the obvious question is, if the Muslims were called, what do you think they would have done to the Muslims? But for 2 days, heads were coming off and the river was now flowing. Once the executions had stopped, a group of officers gathered around Khalid on the riverbank. It was a ghastly sight. Sayyidina Qa'qa radiallahu anhu thereupon turned to Khalid and said, O Amir, even if you kill the people of the entire earth, their blood will not flow as long as this river is dammed. The earth will not absorb all the blood. Hence, let the water run in the river. Thus, you shall keep your pledge. So let's look at this. So Qa'qa radiallahu anhu, he noticed something. He noticed that the river was dammed, meaning that further upstream, it wasn't the full force of the river. And blood naturally sinks into water. It's heavier than water. So he goes, the earth can't absorb all that blood. It's at the riverbed. So if you open the dam, then possibly the river will flow with blood. You can stop the executions basically. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus ordered that the dam upstream be opened. As it was opened, the river water rushed over the bed of the river, and the blood lying in pools at the bottom started to rise, as Qa'qa had mentioned, and it started to flow. This river then became known as the River of Blood, hence the name of the encounter. It's called the River of Blood. As night fell, the hungry army of Khalid radiallahu anhu now sat down to eat the delicious food of the Persians, laid upon the meal cloths. The desert Arab marveled at the fine fare on which the Persian soldier fed. And if you know, to this very day, they got the most exquisite foods. You know, the pastry and the cakes and this, that. So imagine from simple food the Arabs were having, what is this? It is recorded in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 561-2, that 70,000 Persians and Christian Arabs were killed by the Muslims during the battle, including those beheaded at the river. However, Jaban, the Persian commander, had escaped. So how many was there? 100,000. How many were killed? 70,000. The commander-in-chief headed for the hills. On the following day, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu entered into a pact with the local inhabitants of the district. They would pay the jizya and come under Muslim protection. But this time, another cause was added to the pact, namely, the local inhabitants would act as spies and guides for the Muslims. Of the battles which he had fought in the lifetime of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Battle of Mu'ta had a special place in the memory of Khalid radiallahu anhu. For nowhere else had he taken command of such a disastrous situation and saved the Muslims from the jaws of death. Similarly, of the battles fought in Iraq, the Battle of Ulais, the River of Blood, was similarly engraved upon his memory. How do we know? In Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 569, Sayyidina Khalid himself said, radiallahu, at Mu'ta, I broke 9 swords in my hand. However, I have never seen an enemy like the Persians. And indeed, amongst the Persians, I have never met an enemy like the army of Ulais. So Khalid bin Walid mentioned 2 times where the situation was critical for the Muslims. Battle of Mu'tah, which we discussed. He turned defeat into victory. And he goes, the Persians. But then he goes, this army we've just faced. He goes, I've never faced anybody like them. Meaning that he had to make a dua. The fact that the Khalid bin Walid has to make a dua to defeat enemy shows they were like rock. Right? And he praised them. Subhanallah, coming from a giant like Khalid bin Walid, there really could be no finer tribute to the valor of the Persian arms. And this is the tragedy. Because obviously most people's reference now are films. And he goes, Romans or Persians? He goes, Romans every day, brother. Right? Romans every day. And he goes, why do you say that? And he starts rattling those films up. And he goes, Gladiator. Which one? Yeah. And the other one. I don't know, you call it Troy, right? Which other one? Right? And he goes, oh, yeah, mention them. What about Persians? Oh, they were just greasy, you know, had greasy bodies. Sayyidina Khalid says, the Persians, not the Romans. The Persian court was now down and out. The emperor Ardshir was now dying. And the empire would send no more armies to face the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So four battles. The battle of the chains. The battle of the river. The battle of at Walaja. And Ulais, or the river of blood. So now what was his mandate? The mandate was Al-Hira. He still hasn't got there. Abu Bakr goes, just how you do it up to you. Now we finally get to Al-Hira. The conquest of Al-Hira. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu marched from Ulais towards Amghishia. Ulais was in fact just an outpost of Amghishia, as related by Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 563. Amghishia was indeed one of the great cities of Iraq. The believing army arrived to find the city intact, its markets and buildings abundantly stocked with wealth and merchandise of every kind. But, subhanAllah, of human beings, there was none. The men of Amghishia had fallen at Ulais. So look how amazing. This is one of the greatest cities of Iraq. The Persians proud of it, Amghishia. So Khalid thought, right, before now we're going to have to maybe besiege this city. There was nobody there. They sent the whole lot. The aged women and children had left the city in haste on hearing of the approach of Khalid radiallahu anhu and had taken shelter in the neighboring countryside. Subhanallah, the fear which the mere name of Khalid now evoked had become a psychological factor of the highest importance in the operations of his army. His name would send a shiver down their spine. Because who's leaving the army? It was Khalid. But who's here, Kumar? The Muslims thus took Amghishia as part of the legitimate spoils of war. After it had been thoroughly ransacked, Sayyidina Khalid destroyed the city. Why? Because the Persians could regroup. Because destroyed. Subhanallah, it is believed that the spoils taken here were equal to all the booty that had been gained from the preceding four battles in Iraq. Imagine, 100,000 men, guys. 100,000 dirham men and all the rest, all of those four battles doesn't equal what they got just here. Allah Ta'ala gave it to them. Amghishia. Meanwhile, back in Al-Madina, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had by now become accustomed to receiving great glad tidings of victory from the Iraqi front. Then every such message was quickly followed by spoils of war, which enriched the state and gladdened the hearts of the believers. However, even Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was amazed at the spoils of Amghishia. He was astounded. He summoned the Muslims to the masjid and he addressed them. O Quraysh, your lion has attacked another lion and overpowered him. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 141. Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 563. So there's so much spoils. Abu Bakr's policy was, get rid of it. But now he's thinking, I'm going to get rid of it. But he prays Khalid, what did he call him? Call him a lion. O Quraysh, your lion has attacked another lion. What did Khalid say about the Persians? Abu Bakr knew beforehand. These were lions. Your lion has overpowered another lion. The greatest of men after the prophets thereupon uttered his greatest compliment for Khalid. And he said, indeed women can undoubtedly no longer bear sons like Khalid bin Walid. Indeed, women can undoubtedly no longer bear sons, like Khalid bin Walid. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 141. Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 563. So imagine, very bold statement to make. How can women not produce a man like Khalid thereafter? Abu Bakr said it. Because women cannot produce men like this anymore. He's a one-off. Note also the indirect praise of his mother, Sayyida Lubaba bint Al-Haritha. Why? Because he said, women can no longer bear sons like Khalid. Why? Because his father was an unbeliever. So Abu Bakr's wording is very precise. There is a superficial praise, but there's a deeper praise saying his mother was also very virtuous. Meanwhile, in Al-Hira, the governor, Azab Bih, was now extremely worried. You know, strange names. They're asking for Azab, right? Azad Bih was now extremely worried. He had heard of the disaster that had befallen the Persian army, first at Qadima, then secondly at the river, thirdly at Walaja, and now at Ulais. It was now obvious to one and all that Khalid bin Walid was marching to Al-Hira, his objective. If those huge armies commanded by distinguished generals had crumbled before the onslaught of Khalid, radiallahu, how on earth could he then be with a small army hope to resist? In addition, there was now no further instructions from the dying emperor. Azad Bih was a high official of the realm, a 50,000 dirham man. Thus, as a true son of Persia, he resolved to do his utmost to defend Al-Hira. So he was in two minds. He thought, head for the hills. But then he thought, can't do it. Because this is Al-Hira. And he wasn't 100,000 dirham man, he was second. And he goes, I'm going to defend it. He thus got his army garrison out of its quarter and established a camp on the outskirts of Al-Hira. From here, he sent his son with a cavalry group to hold the advance of Khalid radiallahu anhu, and also advised his son to dam the Euphrates in case Khalid should think of moving up on ships. In this, he had guessed correctly, for Khalid had indeed decided to use the river for transport and had all the heavy loads of the army placed in boats. So let's look at this. So what was the plan? Azad Bih, the governor of Al-Hira, he thought, right, there's a great likelihood that Khalid is marching towards Al-Hira, but he's using the river because he's took the boats, the ships. Why travel when you got the river and you know you got transport? So what we need to do is to dam the river so the ships get stranded. This will give us more time and hopefully more reinforcements might come. That was his plan. And he sent his son, imagine, he goes, son, you go, advance guard. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not gone far when the water level suddenly fell and the boats were grounded. The son of Azad Bih had dammed the river. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, realizing what had happened, he thus immediately took a quick detachment of cavalry and dashed off at pace towards Al-Hira. So he got off the ship, took a small cavalry, heading now horseback, full pelt. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon encountered the Persian horses sent forward by the son of Azad Bih as an outpost. It was not long before they were all laying lifeless. So basically Khalid went, he saw the advanced, and not much details, but he engaged them, wiped them out. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon once again opened the dam, and the army once again resumed its advance by the river. Meanwhile, Khalid radiallahu anhu marched further quickly, now caught up with the unsuspecting son of Azad Bih and his cavalry. Azad Bih's son thought, I've left. They won't be following me. Their only objective is to open the dam. So he just, you know, going back comfortably back to Al-Hira. Next minute, he sees Khalid behind him. A short encounter ensued, in which the Persians were killed, including Azad Bih's son. But a few riders managed to escape to carry the devastating news to the father, Azad Bih. Subhanallah, there was however to be a double blow for Azad Bih. For courtiers had also shortly arrived thereafter and informed him that the emperor of Persia had died. Double disaster. One news, your son's dead. Khalid bin Walid killed him. Then he gets another courtier saying, the emperor's dead. Heartbroken, he found the burden of responsibilities too heavy for his shoulders and thus abandoned all intentions of defending Al-Hira against the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, Azad bih crossed the Euphrates with his army, withdrew to the capital, Ctesiphon. Subhanallah, Al-Hira had been left for the believers. So look, imagine, it would have been another siege. But Allah Ta'ala arranged it. He wanted him to just head for the hills in it, right? And he headed for the hills. As Khalid advanced, soon the situation became clear. It was now a mixed situation of peace and war. Al-Hira was now an open city to the Muslims. However, four citadels of Al-Hira, each manned by strong garrisons of Christian Arabs and commanded by Arab chieftains, were prepared for defense and would thus fight it out. Look how strange. The whole city is open now. But it's four fortresses, all Christian Arabs, because we're not going to surrender. Your main guy is gone, what are you going to do? But they didn't. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, thereupon assessing the situation, he appointed four sub-generals with the task of taking these citadels. He didn't even bother with them. He appointed four other people. He goes, you deal with them. The Christian Arab chieftains put up a stiff resistance. But seeing their plight and eventually using their common sense, they thereupon realized the futility of opposition. Thus, it was not long before they also sued for peace. All four citadels agreed to nominate just one man to speak on their behalf, a veritable chieftain of one of the citadels, Abdul Masih Amr ibn Buqayla. So the four citadels, they goes, look, they're gonna destroy us anyway. Food will run out, we haven't got reinforcements, let's use this sue for peace, and they did. And all four nominated a very old man as their chief, because he will be our representative. And what was his name? Abdul Masih, because they worship Christ, the servant of Christ. Amr ibn Buqayla, so that's not his name. Abdul Masih was his kunyat. His real name is Amr ibn Buqayla. He was appointed to speak now with Khalid bin Walid with regards to what is to be done. And here, something miraculous takes place. But we'll mention that tomorrow, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically now the fourth major encounter, the Battle of Ulais, or the River of Blood, in which Sayyidina Khalid won another amazing victory. And then he fulfilled his vow of making the river turn red with the blood of the Persians. And then, of course, Azad bih, Allah Ta'ala forced his hand and he headed for the hills. And eventually Al-Hira fell with a short opposition by the four citadels. But they themselves also now nominated an aged man to speak on behalf of them with Khalid bin Walid for peace terms. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر صدق الله العظيم